The Reserve Pool, Episode 18, The Future. Hello and welcome back to episode 18 of The Reserve Pool, a podcast about Dice Masters and all those people who love to play them. This is Dave here.
And this is Evan. Katie is on vacation.
Yes, in fact, she is gallivanting around the world with the file that was originally going to be episode 18. So, if we can play a game called Where in the World is Katie? You know, I don't think she's wearing a trench coat and a red hat, but if you can find her, tell her to give us the file for episode 18 so we can have our awesome discussion about commons, please.
Yeah, no, I'm pretty sure we'll be seeing that next week.
I think we will too, unless she, you know, decides to steal something else and Rockapella has to sing a song about her. I don't know. Where in the world is Katie San Diego? I didn't have time to think of a Katie San Francisco?
I don't know. I think she's more of a where in time person.
That's true. That's true. So if you see her in your past, old photographs,
or in your future.
Yes.
If you're
speaking
one of those.
Speaking of the future, that was... I'm so glad you did that, because speaking of the future, we're going to be number one at Segways here at the Reserve Pool. Speaking of the future, there has been a lot of talk of the future here in the world of Dice Masters, because we have some spoilers that WizKids released via Facebook for some cards. We're going to gloss over those today and have an in-depth discussion in a couple of weeks where we really break it down. We also have some big set spoilers for DC, for D&D, for Age of Ultron, and for some of the organized play stuff for X-Men, which, again, the organized play we'll probably save for another time as well. But, like, let's first look at this for the set that's coming the soonest, right? The Uncanny X-Men. We have six, is it six? Five.
Five Four. Characters there.
Five.
They've gone into.
Yes. Yeah, so we have Magic, Emma Frost, Cable, Bishop, and Apocalypse.
Yep.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Just, again, we're going to break this down in like more depth in the coming weeks, but does anything really stand out to you right now, Evan?
A couple things. Magic looks really interesting on pretty much all of her fields.
I agree.
Her common is... Or wait, no, she's not a starter character. Magic's common is, you know, she's a cheap blocker who doesn't go away ever for any reason. Not exactly ever for any reason, but, you know, doesn't go away. Her uncommon has a really neat ability to sometimes teleport off the battlefield with the person she's blocking. And her rare has an interesting, maybe she'll do extra damage when she attacks ability, or attacks
yes.
and gets through. So she looks like she has a lot of applications, and I think we're going to be seeing her all over the place.
Well, I looked at the rare, and I thought right away of a fact talk, because it says a mask face. It doesn't say a mask or a double mask. I think it probably means any of her mask faces and not specifically a single mask, but I don't know that for sure, because how can you say?
If it was specifically a single mask face,
that
would make her amazing. Because
yeah.
then it's, you know, you can expect to get 8 damage out of her when she attacks or something, which is
yeah.
ridiculous for a character
so
that cheap to field.
I think it's probably not that way. But,
right.
yeah, man, that's pretty cool. And certainly she's somebody who will then absorb a blocker, and perhaps somebody who you wanted to get through will get through, because it's kind of a darned if you do, darned if you don't, if you have her with somebody else. Yeah, Magic is pretty cool. I'm really... looking forward to checking that out. I think a high point for me, for one, Cable, I love his die. Like, I assume yeah. that's a muzzle flash there, right?
No, that's his, I think it's his, like, bionic
eye.
It's
his bionic eye?
Yeah.
Okay, I couldn't decide which way they were going with that. It, from all the promos, it looked like a muzzle flash, and here it kind of does. But, yeah, his bionic eye makes sense. That's certainly an iconic thing for Cable. It has a little more of a flashy thing. I think of Cable, I think of the eye and the gun.
It might also be that his I think his eye glows when he uses his psychic powers or something. Much as I like Cable, I'm actually not that up on his history. So,
nor am I. But he has a cool global on, you know, it forces a blocker and deals a damage, which is pretty sweet. He's all about the bolts, and that's awesome. I think he really stands out for me. Is there anything you don't like?
Yeah. No, I mean, Bishop.
I know what's coming.
Yes, I'm going to start with the softballs. Bishop, I don't think... I'm not that interested in his common and uncommon. They seem very Thor-esque, which, if you've listened to us, is not exactly a compliment.
But his rare is pretty interesting. Bolts matter. Who are the characters who are doing all the damage? Bolts, primarily. You know, it might be useless to have, like, the fist thing that Thor does because of the nature of Thor, but I think that something where bolts have no effect on him is actually pretty interesting to me. Or his beef up when he's engaged with a bolt character. I don't think it's horrible. I think it's niche.
Yeah,
but I think it's an answer towards the power of the bolt characters we have right now.
Yeah, I think it's niche, though I am interested in his rare. His rare does seem pretty neat, that when he takes damage, he blasts opposing characters.
Yeah, I think that's pretty cool. I think we were talking about a custom card about somebody who would absorb damage and blast it out. Oh, yeah, it was Rocky Balboa on the ropes.
Right.
Well, I guess we have Bishop as our Rocky Balboa, so I might start calling Bishop Rocky.
Yeah, and it's neat because most of these characters are pretty thematic. I mean, Bishop all across the board, Cable certain. Well, I don't know if Cable is time shenanigans, but he's also psychic powers. So Cable does a lot of things. So you can probably explain it that way.
And Apocalypse? Well, there's somebody else you want to bring up. I know that you don't like.
Well, yeah. Apocalypse, I think, is expensive, but has some interesting abilities. But let's talk about Emma Frost.
Let's talk about
it.
What would you like
to
say? Well, can I say a good thing about Emma Frost first? She splits team affiliations, and that's pretty cool. That's something we talked a lot about. Villain, X-Man villain, if you go from common to rare to super rare. That's nifty. But go ahead, Evan. This is the one we'll talk, I guess, the most in-depth about.
Yeah, I mean, she has, I guess, the same problem as Bishop, basically, just writ large. She's very niche in that she stops fists, and I guess that's nice because, you know, take that, Tsarina. But honestly, fists in the original set had a very low distribution. There were just one or two lower cost cards, and it was all big, beefy guys, or mostly big, beefy guys, and I felt like I didn't see a lot of fists that weren't Tsarina in many cases, or at least when I was playing. So,
well, I think a fair amount of the Hulk, but that brings me then to Emma Frost's super rare, which I know you don't like. I don't like it either, but the first thing I thought of was, okay, if you're going to get damaged by a fist character, it's going to be somebody like a Tsarina or a Hulk, based on the cards we have now. Certainly there'll be more fists later. So when Emma Frost is damaged by a fist character, redirect the first one damage from her to your opponent. So say she gets damaged by Hulk, then you damage the opponent, and now Hulk's ability triggers and does damage to everybody. Like, she ends up fueling Hulk for your opponent.
Yeah. I mean, she is one of many characters who does not play nicely with an opposing Hulk. There are lots of characters that are like that.
But this one in particular is like, essentially, if Hulk damages me, I allow Hulk to do his thing.
Yeah.
Like, doubly so, because she's going to hit him back as a blocker, and she's also going to hit the opponent. But anyway, yeah, I that's just some general stuff. Overall, I like the direction this is going. We don't have a ton of those little, quick, low-cost characters. We've talked about that. We have some nifty abilities, and I like a lot of the interactions that we see. Overall, I think the next set is going to be a step in a really awesome direction. I mean, I'm kind of geeked out over the things that that could be coming here.
And actually, but I will say one nice thing about Emma. If you look at her costs, she's pretty beefy for a 1/1/2 character.
Yes, yeah. For fielding, her stats are not bad. 3, 4, 5 as you go up the levels.
Expensive. Like, she's not that expensive a die to buy either. So, while I think her abilities are not necessarily amazing, she is pretty nice stat-wise, so there's that.
Yeah, I mean, and her forecast, her rare does take the edge off of Fist characters, minus one attack to all opposing Fist characters, no matter how many Emma Frosts you have out there. So, I mean, yeah, Fist characters generally come at you with their physical thing, so taking the edge off of that is pretty good, especially if somebody goes hardcore Fist at you.
Overall, so. We're just seeing much lower fielding costs. I mean, granted, it's only five characters from the set, but we haven't seen anyone who's 1, 2, 3 so far.
No, they seem to be tapering it off. I mean, all in all, I think we're seeing a lot of stuff that we wanted to see. Yeah. And again, I'm actively excited for this
and
stuff
a lot
that's
more
coming. Yeah.
4 or 5 cost things as opposed to, you know, half the set being 6, or not half, but, you know, a third, a quarter of the set being 6s.
Yeah, so we can really have structure to the game like we talked about. Your early things to kind of get going, and then your mid-game where you try to put together a combo or build for like those beefier characters. Yeah, I'm cool with it all. But let's step back and look at a much more macro level. One big thing that we had confirmed was... Well, okay, I'll start with the thing that I'm a little less excited about. I mean, we know a little more about D&D. We know that it was pushed to spring. I don't think anybody's shocked with that. Of course they want, even though they're not directly compatible, they're semi-compatible, of course they want Uncanny X-Men to have its time in the sun before they release D&D. I'm totally cool with that. The only card we could really see was the Red Dragon. The other stuff was just a little too blurry for me to make out. That's pretty awesome. I mean, I'm on the fence. I think it sounds like a cool concept. It looks like we'll have the ability for equipment, as they teased, plus one swords. And, you know...
And you can definitely see something in a mechanic called experience.
Yes.
I can make a breath weapon on Red Dragons. So that'll be interesting. The other nice thing, if someone is, you know, shopping a bit for these... From what I hear, they're intending to send a promo die-in card to retailers for people who are intended for people who pick up the starter. That if you are fans of Baldur's Gate series, you should not miss. It is Minsk and Boo. I have no idea I don't remember offhand what it does, but it's Minsk and Boo, and you shouldn't need any better reason for. Forgetting it than that.
Well, let's move on to the thing that I'm super, super, super excited about, because we have so much info now. Okay, relatively much, kind of a lot of info now on DC Dice Masters. We have teasers. We have the blog post up about this yesterday if you didn't see it. We have pictures of dice. We have pictures of cards. And some of them are like the standbys you'd expect, right? We have like, you know, Solomon Grundy, who I've always liked him. And by the way, it was one of my favorite boss fights in Arkham City. Spoilers! It's a couple years old, sorry. But you have the standbys. You have Batman, Superman, Wonder Woman, The Flash. But if we look at the pictures of the dice, we have some awesome stuff here, too. It's really easy to identify some, hard to do some others. Like, definitely see a Black Canary. I can't specifically identify a Green Arrow because I don't see a green with an arrow, but he's surely going to be in there.
Could it be that brown one? That might be some green.
It could be brown. Yeah, it could be like green and gold. It just doesn't make sense unless they're going for the color of his hair. I don't know. Deathstroke, love that. Deadshot. I see a Blue Beetle, and I was searching, and I couldn't quite recommend a boost. Wait a minute. Okay, on the bottom of the picture, guy, 3 from the right. It's a yellow die, and it appears to have a triangle with a blue speck in the middle. And that, I am 90. That's got to be Booster Gold's logo. I think Booster Gold is confirmed. So I probably need to pause the episode a little bit so I can dance around the room. But I happen to have Booster Gold issue 40 right here, and I'm looking at it, and that is definitely the Booster Gold logo on a die. We have Booster Gold, and I am so freaking pumped. Guess what, Katie? I got my favorite character before you got Sue Storm. Even though Sue Storm might come out in the interim somehow. But I saw Blue Beetle, so I'm like, yay, where's Booster Gold? And there he is. He's definitely there. It has to be him. There's nobody else it could be. It's a gold die with blue etching. It's a triangle with, it has to be a star in it. Sorry, I'm going to stop gushing. Go ahead.
I was going to say, speaking of awesome segues, and not to cut into the, but I don't want to cut into the DC gushing time.
The squeeze.
I am going to be unfortunately very quiet about this, as outside of the Teen Titan cartoon and the excellent old Batman animated series, I have relatively little DC exposure.
Well, that's fair, though. Before the show, who did you think Cyborg was?
Kratos, the guy that is so, probably Cyborg, so looks Titans. Like Kratos, with Aang from Avatar under him.
Yeah, I can't quite, I as much as I know about DC, I'm looking at him and I can't quite place him. I know who it is. I want to say it's Mr. Miracle, but he's not blue, so I don't know. He's red with yellow stuff, and I think there's an arrow on him, but...
Future Dave here. It appears to be Red Tornado, and I don't know why I couldn't think of that. Perhaps because red is in his name and the dye is blue? But it has to be him. Red Tornado has the big old arrow on his head. Why the dye is blue and yellow, I will never know. But I digress. Moving on.
I'm not sure. This all looks cool, and yes, you can't talk as much about the DC stuff. So the shoe is on the other foot. Uncomfortable and smelly, is it not?
Yes.
Yes. Because it's my shoe, and my feet smell. I'm just looking at these, and these are awesome. Overall, I'm very pleased with the characters that we get here. We have Fire Storm. That's cool. I'd love to see Fire and Ice. I mean, I'm a big fan of the Justice League International, so Booster, Beetle, Fire, Ice. We have a Green Lantern. I'm wondering if they'll all be Hal Jordan, or if we'll have like a Hal Jordan, Guy Gardner, and...
I almost want to say if they're going to have Guy Gardner, he'll be his own card, because he's, even with my limited DC knowledge, I know he's kind of special.
Well, yeah, and I mean, there are a couple of Green Lanterns who are very much, like, well, special. Hal Jordan being, like, the best known one outside of the guy, the original one from the Golden Age, but this looks really cool. I think we can identify, pre-show, Evan theorized that the top hat, the magic hat there was probably Zatanna. That makes sense. She's one of the, you know, magician-y people. This just all looks cool. They unfortunately gave us a dupe here. If you look at the top, there's a guy with the hood kind of thing there. I can't tell what it is. He has bold energy. He's white. And then if you go down below in the middle of the pack, like almost in a diagonal line down from him, right above Deadshot, and between Deadshot and Martian Manhunter is the same die.
It reminds me of the Phantom from the Batman animated series.
Okay. Could be.
But I don't know if that's an actual DC character. So, it was from like their first like straight to home video movie.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I couldn't say.
Overall, I'm enthused. I'm really, really pleased with what we see from this, and I cannot wait for DC Dice Masters. The Marvel stuff is fun. These are the characters that I really care about, and that's pretty darn cool. So let's move to the last piece here, and we're starting to go a little over the time we wanted to. We don't know a lot about it, but Age of Ultron.
Yes, and I was going to say, to segue into this, you'd mentioned Sue Storm. I believe, has a fairly significant role in the Marvel Age of Ultron, not the movie. I don't know what the movie is going to be like yet. The comic storyline. So I would imagine we might get to see her.
Yeah.
I'd hope.
Yeah. Okay.
Full disclosure, I did not like the Age of Ultron storyline very much. It's time weirdness, so, you know, that either works or it doesn't. It didn't work very well for me. But I'm certainly looking forward to seeing what characters come out for it, and it'll be nice to see Ultron, because he's an interesting guy.
Yes, and we have very little information on this. It says spring 2015. I expect that to be pushed. It'll probably be more like summer at best. D&D, it says spring. DC is supposed to be spring. I don't know what to say. Justice League, Dice Masters, but whatever you want to call it.
Right. The only things we know so far are that it will have Captain Marvel.
Yes.
Ultron and Phil Coulson.
Yep. And somebody commented down here that they really wanted to see, like, if Phil Coulson doesn't have an ability that brings him back from the dead, they're going to be sorely disappointed. I can understand that.
Go on and on about Tahiti while you use it, though.
I like it. Well, this is a lot of exciting stuff. I hope you can hear the excitement in our voices. Certainly you could hear the excitement in my voice as I gushed and gushed and gushed about Booster Gold. But, you know, fanboys will be fanboys, and why are we here if not to be that? He can't be in the freaking new 52. They had to nix the JLI. Of course, I don't like the creative direction they took that. Hopefully he'll come back sometime. He had a little brief appearance in Jonah Hex. It was almost like a year or two ago. But whatever. Blue and gold till I die. That's it.
I'm just really, really amused that we're going to see Minsk and Boo. Even if it's just a promo card, it gives me hope for seeing all kinds of crazy stuff. I cross my fingers and hope we'll see some Planescape Torment theme stuff, but it's unfortunately, well, who knows? I'm not going to say anything naysaying. If they do it, I will be tickled pink.
Let's be honest. WizKids has been doing a lot with Wizards of the Coast lately. They're doing their new D&D minis. They have the D&D attack wing separate from that. Obviously, D&D Dice Masters. The D&D minis are separate from HeroScape. They're doing the sculpts, HeroClicks. I wish HeroScape. I love that so much. They're doing the sculpts for the D&D minis. However, those are shaking out. Attack wing looks really nifty, the way that they're kind of playing on the flight path system. There's some cool stuff that's happening, and early review on the sculpts, which WizKids sometimes gets criticized for, is that they are freaking sweet. So let's see what happens here with WizKids. These new sets have me pumped. So that's all we can say about it today. We're going to go more in-depth on the spoilers in the coming weeks, especially because there may be more of them. Who the heck knows? Otherwise, thanks so much for spending some time with us once again, folks.
Yep. Thank you again. For coming and absolutely reading and listening.
Yes. So if we can find Katie, we will have the discussion of the awesome common cards next week in AVX, because they are plenty. They are legion. And other than that, we'll see you again soon. Thanks for spending time with us, and have a great week.
Yep. Have a good week, everyone.
Yes.